That's the last psalm that David wrote in our book of Psalms. And it's such a wonderful hymn of praise to God. God all-powerful, God all-loving. And it wasn't something that he just wrote down as the thoughts came to him, because he wanted it to be a very special offering to God. We lose some of this in translation, but apparently it's one of those psalms where every verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. Now imagine writing a poem where every line began with the next letter of our alphabet. How long would that take? It's something that David really spent time about, to make it something really special for his God. He knew that God was awesome. Now, young people today say that a lot of things are awesome. But when David said that God was awesome, he really means awesome. You have to stand back in amazement at this God who is our God. As David says, great is the Lord. His greatness no one can fathom. It's beyond our understanding. And that's awesome. I want to pick out two things from this psalm, two of David's themes. Oh dear, disaster has struck. No, it hasn't. It hasn't. That's all right. The first thing I want to say is that David sees himself as part of a bigger picture. He wants to praise God, but he wants everybody to praise him, every living creature to praise him. And he wants that praise to go on forever and ever. We talked about it being over 2,000 years since Jesus was born. But it was almost another 1,000 years before that David was writing this psalm. Now, could he ever have imagined in his wildest dreams that about 3,000 years later, we would be reading and speaking his words in praise of God? But I think he hoped that in 3,000 years' time, people would still be praising God in some way or another. Because he says in verse 4, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. You see, David was speaking the great truths about God, which he knew would last. Some of his promises have been fulfilled, like the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. But some are still to come, like the kingdom that David talks of. God's kingdom with all its glorious splendor. Where we are, which is about 90 or 100 generations after David, his words still speak to us about the God that we worship. And why are we still looking at these ancient words written 3,000 years ago? Why are we looking at them now? Because in each of those 90 generations since David, people have been willing to pass on to others what they know about God and just how wonderful he is, just how awesome he is in every one of those generations. That's why today, we are still praising God, because people have passed it on. David's in no doubt about this at all. It's not just in that one verse, because after that verse, he goes on to say about these generations that are to come, they will speak, they will tell, I will proclaim. They will celebrate. They will joyfully sing. And in verses 10 and 11, he says, your saints will extol you. Now, saints just means believers like us. So your believers will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. So our job is to tell our generation about the God we worship, the awesome God who's beyond our understanding, yet the God who's faithful and loving. And it depends on our age whether we have opportunities to tell the next generation, and possibly the one after that too, to tell them about the God who gives us so much joy. We're not required to write beautifully constructed poems the way that David did. We're not required to lead spectacular lives leading nations. Just to pass on the message in our generation. To be a signpost to God. People need to see what a difference God can make in people's lives. People need to know that there's a God who loves them. Particularly when times are very uncertain. And the year ahead doesn't seem at all clear. Will God's praise still be sung 1,000 years from now? That really depends on us. We're just going to stop there for a moment or two and sing a hymn which voices those words. Let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King. And the second thing that I want to take from this psalm is that David spoke from personal experience. David was a great king, a great leader, but he had some very scary times in his life. When he fought Goliath, or when he was being hunted down by Saul to be killed on the run. And then he led his people in many campaigns against their enemies. He had major griefs in his life, like the death of Jonathan or the death of his son Absalom. He did some very bad things in his life, which he had to own up to, admit to God. But David knew that through all those traumatic times, God was with him. God was in charge of David, and God was in charge of everybody else. David never lost his faith in God, and he was able to tell others from his personal experience of what God had done in his life. God's might and power, God's compassion, God's care, God's forgiveness. David had known it all. To him, God's power was awesome. But God's love was awesome too. So when David says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, we know that David has a reason to say this. He's done things which would have angered a lesser God. He's had to rely on God's grace and compassion. And then he goes on, the Lord is faithful to all his promises, loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, lifts up all who are bowed down. The Lord is near to all who call. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. David has known the saving presence of God throughout his life, as shepherd boy, as young man, as famous king. Yet David had never known Jesus. He could never have imagined that God would send his son to earth, a humble human being. But for us, everything that David tells us about God's love, we have seen in Jesus. That baby that came on the first Christmas day is the love of God embodied in a human being, a baby who would grow up to be our Savior and our Lord, who would show us just what the love of God is like. Love that was prepared to go to the cross for us, so that all the stupid, shameful things we do could be forgiven. Power that raised him up again to give us hope. We're given a new start every day, not just every new year. Such amazing love. The love we sing about in the children's song, Jesus' love is very wonderful. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it. I just love action songs, as you probably know. I just love them because they allow you to express what you think about things. And Jesus' love is very wonderful. It's so wide, you can't get round it. One of the adult hymns that I love, which I could use the same action for, there's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. Just think about that. So wide, you can't really imagine it, which is just what David was saying. God is great, a greatness no one can fathom. And it's what we sing today about God's love. We all have similar experiences to David of God's love and power in our lives. Perhaps not on the same scale. But how many of us can think of times when God has got us through a bad patch? When we've been lifted up? When he's enabled us to face life again? Or times when we've been nudged in the right direction? Or times when wonderful things have happened that we have thought impossible? Times when prayers have been answered? Our own experience matters. Our own attitude to the God who made us, the God who saved us, the living God who's with us every step of the way. The morning service this morning on Radio 4 had ordinary people saying how much having God in their lives meant to them. And the preacher said that authentic Christian lives, real Christian lives, were better at pointing people to God than religion or church or lots of things like that. It's our experience that matters, real lives, and what God means to them. So let's make a New Year's resolution as members of Christ's body that we will show and tell our generation and those to come just what God means to us. What he means in our lives. What he's done in our lives. Let's be signposts for them to the God who wants to be their Savior too.